Well, the reason that I had Tom get dressed casually today is because I don't like to fly with my suit on. I don't know about you, but I'm leaving, and I could have probably gotten a later flight, but I get home about 11 or 12 o'clock, and I don't like to get home late either, in the dark. So we decided that I'd take that flight, and he'd fit me in where I could get away about a quarter to 12. Now, this book has taken some changes since we wrote it. Tom and I were up in Canada several years ago, and I just come up with a lot of different topics that I thought were good topics that had to do with the Christian life and living the life and so on, basics in a life, and came up with a study. A lot of it I learned from the Navigators years ago, the verse studies and things of that nature. And I selected 6 verses under each topic, and we're going to have a little drill on them right now. What I'm going to do is get into the lesson. If I have any time afterward, go and show you a little bit about what I did, and if what I missed, Tom can point out to you, I'm sure, in the time that he has remaining here. I have a little theory of my own. I would rather look at truth a lot instead of a little and distill something from it. And so what we're going to do today, we're going to look at verses. We're going to read them, circle keywords, define keywords, answer questions on the verses. Then we're going to do a verse study. You're actually going to write it out in your own words. And then we're going to make an application from it. And so, looking at truth a little, a lot, I trust will distill from it. Now, that doesn't mean that I don't read chapter after chapter, and sometimes 2 or 3 chapters a day, sometimes a whole book I'll read in the morning. But I always like to end up with some scripture verses, something that I've memorized, to get some real meat from what I have learned in the past, to take me into the day. And wish we had a lot of time to share with you, but I like to start every day putting my hand in God's hand and saying, let's go after the devotion. I say, well, goodbye, Lord. I'll see you tomorrow at this time, hopefully. No, God goes everywhere we go, and we can take Him with us. Isn't that right? And I like to practice that presence. He had me write out a little quiet time thing, and it's called practicing His presence. And I start out with that celestial fix. And anyway, turn, if you will, to page 12. We're going to get right into the lesson, and you're going to be participants in it. Participants. I'm going to simulate a group of 10 this morning. You are one of 10. And we're going to read, and I'm going to have you respond to me over and over again during the lesson. And I want you to raise your hand, however. Don't all shout at once. I want to get responses, but not just shouting. And then I want to have a couple of you, when we come to the reviewing or reading of you're going to paraphrase and then you write application. I'd like to have a couple of you from down in the front where you can get up here quickly and read, if you will. And you'll see how differently we view things and we actually learn from one another. Now, page 12, salvation. Right on the top of the page on that solid line, I want you to write 5 words. Just write the word simple. S-I-M-P-L-E. Dash, basic. B-A-S-I-C, basic. Dash, simple, basic, dash, for new Christians. For new Christians. This is a lesson, and of course, as you get deeper into it, you're going to get into a lot of real needy subjects of the Christian life or topics. But this lesson to begin with is simple, it's basic, it's for new Christians. You got it? Okay. Now, read the paragraph at the top of the page out loud with me, if you will. Salvation means deliverance from sin and its consequence. Review and meditate on these truths until you can say with confidence, I know I am saved. I have been born into God's family as His child. I now have eternal life. Now, that definition of salvation is a Webster's Dictionary definition. Deliverance from sin and its consequence. First thing you got is the number one. It says, circle keywords or phrases in the following scriptures. Circle the word circle, if you will. And right above it, put why. W-H-Y. Why? Circle key words. And I want you to respond to me now with a hand raised. What's the importance, you think, of circling key words? As you hear things, write them down, and you'll have a whole lot of things to share with others. They'll think you're an expert. Where did they get all this knowledge? So, one thought now, quickly. Why bother about circling keywords? Let's see some hands now, quickly. Why circle keywords? Yes, sir, J.R.? Attention, okay. Why circle keywords? Come on, out this, quickly. Quickly, quickly. Yes, ma'am. More plain. Why circle keywords? Yes, sir. Discussion. Why circle keywords? Emphasis. Why circle keywords? Quickly. Huh? Hit the mark, okay? Why circle keywords? Yes, way in the back. Huh?
Summarize.
Focus. We're digging, we're mining nuggets. Okay, think. I've heard recently that Henry Ford hired a man to come into the plant years ago, walk around the plant, and study the workforce, and come back and give him a report on whether his people were really putting in a good day, whether they were producing anything. So a couple weeks later, he comes back. He says, as a rule, you've got a lot of good workers. He said, there's one person. I've been going by his office, and I tell you what, his feet are on a desk. It looks like he's doing nothing. And he said, his name is right on the door. Here it is. Well, Henry Ford said, you know what? He's my highest paid employee. I pay him to do nothing but what? Think. Think. I had this class in Pittsburgh a couple of years ago. And a man came up there after me and he said, you know what I got mostly out of the Massachusetts Institute of Technology? I said, what? They made me what? Think. We do so little what? Thinking. That's why we need to think. Think. Dig. Mine. The wonderful nuggets in a good book. Now, I'm going to read the verses. Now, in the box below, you'll notice in the above scriptures, what do we learn about salvation? Secondly, becoming God's child. Thirdly, eternal life. The first four verses have to do with salvation. What do we learn about salvation? I will read. I want you to circle words, if you can, dealing with salvation, or maybe combinations, but not whole sentences. This will make you think again. You understand what I want you to do now? So you look at the verse. As I read, you circle words or combinations dealing with salvation. Here we go. She will bear a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. Now, I wish I could read it two or three times, but I'm going to have to get on with a lesson here to get through with it. Dealing with salvation, what word or combination did you circle quickly? Just hands, quickly. Yes, sir. Save. What did you raise? Yes. Bear. What did you? Son. All right. Yes, sir. Jesus. All right. What else? Yes, ma'am. Sin. What else? Any other? Yes, sir. From. Okay, well, you know what we're doing? We're making people look at the verse, right? And making some decisions on it. Now, if you don't get anything else, underline in the second line there, Jesus, and then skip over to will save and skip over from their sins. And make that clear. It's Jesus who saves us from our sins. You get the picture? We're making them look. We're making them think and act. Second verse. But God proves his love for us by the fact that Christ died for us while we were still sinners. Now, I'd like to read that three or four more times, but you're a very bright, intelligent people. You pick up things in a hurry, isn't that right? That's what I thought. Okay, all right. What do we find about salvation in this verse? Hands only. Yes, sir. He proves, okay? It's a proof of his love. It's demonstrated. What else now? Yes, sir. Christ died. All right, what else do we learn? Yes, ma'am. It's a fact, okay? Anything else you'd like to point out? Anyone else? Yes, sir. God's love, okay. Yes, ma'am. Still sinners, you know. You don't have to, oh, boy, I got to clean up the act before I, you know, come to Christ. He's able to save to the what? Uttermost. Is that right? Okay, well, we'll go on because time is slipping. Now, here's a good verse, and I've used it so many times, and so have you. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, so that no one should boast. I read it a little bit wrong. I quoted it from the King James. But, oh, you got the picture anyway. Let's see. Here's some words now. Thoughts about salvation. What do we learn from this verse about salvation? Hands again. Yes, sir. It's a gift. Okay. You can't do anything but receive a gift, right? Yes, sir. Grace. And here with a new group of Christians, you have an opportunity to explain a little bit what grace means. So it's a gift, it's grace. Come on. Yes, ma'am. Faith. Circle faith. And you know what I like to do at that time? Just put a little dash above faith and put in whom. In whom. And ask the, you know, faith has to have an object. Who are we placing our faith in? Draw them out. 9 times out of 10, they're going to say, who? Well, they'll probably say God. That's the response you give. God. Well, now, who died for you on the cross? Who bore your sin? And get it right back again to Jesus. Anything else that we need to look at? Not of works. And so many people today are trying to work their way, right? All right, the next verse. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Isn't that a good verse? Have you called on him yourself? What verses, words have you circled or combination here? Let's get a couple of new ones. Yes, sir. Everyone. I'm glad about that, aren't you? Old oil field roustabout. I can call on the name of the Lord and he'll hear me. What else did you circle? Yes, quickly. Anyone else? Let's see some hands. Where are you? Calls. It doesn't have to be a verbal call. The old heart can just reach out to God quietly. What else? Yes, sir. Shall be saved. Now, might be. Is that right? Now, I have add a little bit to it sometime. In the first verse, just to the left of it, right next to Jesus, you might put the word who. Like an owl. Who saves? Jesus, right? Who? Jesus. Now to the right of the second verse, put the word how. How? How? What did the last two words say? What does it say? Last two words of the second verse. Of the first line. Christ died. Who saved? Jesus. How? Christ died. Now you combine the next two verses and put the word when. When are we saved, converted, born again? When? Now, there are at least two or three words in there, and I'd like you to respond to it. When are we saved? Let's hear. Yes, sir. All right, number one, we need to call on him. What's another word or two that, when are we saved? Let's see the hand. Yes, sir. All right, believe. What's another out of one of the words you circled? Accept. All right? Now, we haven't got down the fourth verse yet, or the fifth verse. What's another? Those two verses that we read. When are we saved? Through faith. That's right. Through faith in Jesus. There might be another one you could put in there. It's the what of God? Gift of God. You receive the gift by faith when we call on him. Right? So that's the when. You get the picture? I said, who saves? That's the first verse. Jesus. How? Christ died. When? Well, when we call on Him, when we receive the gift, when we come by faith, is that right? Now we're going into the third verse, the fifth verse, and we're going to switch gears. Those were salvation verses. Now we're going into becoming God's son. I'll read it. You circle. But to all who did accept Him and trust in His name, He gave the right to become children of God, who were born of God and not of natural blood nor of physical or human impulse. I'll read it again. But to all who did accept Him, Christ, and trust in His name, He gave the right to become the children of God, who were born of God and not of natural blood nor of the physical or human impulse. All right, let's get a few words or combinations here, please. Let's see some hands. Yes, sir. Huh? All again. He likes the word all. Let's have a few more. Yes, way back. Trust, okay? Accept Him. Let's have a few. Yes, ma'am. Children of God. Let's have some more. It's a right. Oh, what a beautiful word. Right. We have a right. Yes, ma'am. Born of God. Circle at a time or two. Born of God. And here's where you really want to get home the point that we're coming into a new family and so on. You know, my dad was 78 years of age. He left home when I was 2. I don't ever remember a father at home. He left 8 children. And through the years, his mother came to my home when she was ready to die, my mother, grandmother, and she said, pray for your daddy, he doesn't know the Lord. Well, I started praying, and even before I was saved, I was praying, and then my family prayed, and I'd visit him when I could. And I could never really get down to business with him. One time he told me his worst sin was chewing tobacco. Here he had left him family. One time I almost felt like hitting him. He said, your mother's fault. He tried to blame her. She was hard. Oh, I felt like really giving it to him. But I held my peace. 1978, I was in Australia. I got a wire from my sister and said, if you want to see your dad alive, you better come home. Well, she was one of these people that, well, I can't think of the word, but what do you call it? Give me a word for it here. Anyway, I thought, well, Mom, 15,000 miles, and, you know, she's always excited about a lot of things. So I did get home as quickly as I could. Went up to Rochester, New York, with another sister and a brother-in-law, and he was now in my sister's home, Esther. And my sister and brother-in-law went to the kitchen to get a bite to eat about 7:30 in the evening, and I walked into my dad's room. The first words were, son, I've lived a wicked life. And when I die, I want to go to be where my mother is. And I said, Dad, you've taken the first step. He never would ever admit that he was a sinner. That's where it begins. Why do you need a Savior unless you admit you're a sinner? I said, is that what you want to do, Dad, right now? He said, yes. So I said, you pray with me. And we prayed together. And I took and turned over. I got his old Bible. And we're over to John 1:12. But as many as received him, to them gave he the right to become the sons of God. And the King James, I wrote that down. I said, Dad, did you receive Jesus Christ a moment ago? Did you really mean it when you prayed to ask Christ to come into your heart? He said, I did. I said, now let's look and see what happened. I like the 13, which were born not of blood. Dad, it's not a new birth into the Riggs family. It's not of blood, nor the will of the flesh. Nothing you can do, nor the will of man. Nothing anyone else can do. But you're born of God. Born from above. And I said, Dad, if you meant business tonight, I had his old Bible and I wrote in the margin of it, right on the margin, August 26, 1959. And he looked over the top of his glasses and he said, put down 9:30. It was that clear to him. And it wasn't long afterward, a knock came on the door. Esther, my oldest sister, was out there. I don't know how long she'd been there. Maybe she was letting me finish with him. Knock. Said, come in. And Esther opened the door, and I said, Dad, tell Esther what you just did.
He said, I just received Jesus Christ in my heart.
His first act was to write out a check for my mother. 110 miles away in Olean, New York, he said, I know that she has needs. Born of God. Now, I want you to write in the margin several things that happen when you're born of God. Just put the word new, N-E-W, on a slant because I want you to put four or five things. Put new. And then under new, put foundation. We have a new foundation. On Christ the solid rock I stand, right? We have a new family. A wonderful new family. New family. We have a new foe. Satan, as Tom said, is a roaring lion walketh about seeking whom he may devour. We have a new foe, and it's good to talk about the new foe that's going to give us fits and really try to make us doubt in a lot of other things. We have a new future going up one day. Or at least we're going to have a new future as far as the Christian life, even on this in this life is concerned. And I like to add another one. We have a new freedom. A new freedom. John 8:32 says, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall what? Make. You know why we're having so many people going to counselors these days? Family counseling? We don't have the Bible. We can't solve our problems with a book by the Holy Spirit. We've got to go. We are in absolute bondage today because we don't know the good book, right? All right. Well, good for us. Let's go on now. The last verse has to do with salvation. I mean, eternal life. And I got to move on here. Woo, time gets away. I'm going to read it. For God, you circle words now, dealing with eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Let's go quickly now. What are some words here you've got circled? Let's see some hands again. Eternal life. What did we learn about it? Come in, quickly. I see the hand. Yes, sir. Perish is all right, a word. We're not going to perish. What are we? Some other word. So loved. Let's see some hands. Yes. He gave. What else? Only Son. Come on. Yes, ma'am. Whoever believes. Yes. Set free. Whoever. Let's get some couple more here. What is it? Eternal life. Okay, whoever believes, eternal life. Okay, now you notice there's an asterisk to the left of that verse, and that means you're to memorize the verse if you're having your Bible study. Now, over to the top of page 13, well, I want you to put down, we're going to do a verse study quickly, John 3:16. John 3:16. We decided for each of the seven lessons in the new beginning, the verse with the asterisk was going to be the verse that we really did the study on. Two words I want you to write down under keywords. Believe. Believe. Second one is eternal life. That's two words, but it's eternal life. Believe and eternal life. Now, you've got a new group, and they may not be too responsive at the beginning. You may have to be a little more involved yourself as a teacher, but what does the word believe mean to you? And if you get some words, some thoughts here, write them down. Let's see some hands. Now, what does believe mean? Quickly. Come on, I want to see the hands. Yes, sir. Trust. Let's see. Yes, sir. Conviction. That what you said? Yes, ma'am. What? What's the word? Faith. What does believe mean, ma'am? Command. Yes. Rely. Yes. Confidence. Accept. All right. Eternal life. Give me some thoughts here. What does eternal life mean? Let's see some hands again, quickly. Come on. Forever?
Come on. Quick. Yes. Huh? Divine? Is that what you said? Divine life? Yes, sir.
Come on.
Unimaginable. Okay. Living forever. Yes, sir, ma'am. With the Lord.
A new life.
A quality of life. Right on earth now, right?
I was had this class in Annapolis, and a Presbyterian doctor was in the class, and he said, it's permanent and irrevocable. That's his answer.
Quickly now, paraphrase John 3:16. In your own words, paraphrase John 3:16. In your own words. Just rewrite it. Don't have to be a treatise here. Just paraphrase it. In your own words.
John 3:16. You got a lot of group in your group. There's a group of 10, you know. Many of them haven't been in the faith long, and they don't have a lot of big words or understanding. You want to make it as simple as you can. And raise your hand when you have finished paraphrasing. Put them down. Raise your hand and put them down. Raise your hand and put them down as soon as you've finished. Okay. How many? Raise your hand when you've finished now. How many of you have finished? Could I see your hands? Would one or two, would two of you please, a man and a woman, mind coming up here and reading your paraphrase? Some of you, come on, J.R. Read it for us. Come on up here. Now, I want you to listen to the differences of, and I want a lady, if you would. What lady over here, somewhere here, would come up and join us too? So, come up here where we can hear it.
God loved so much you and me that he sent his son to die for you and me. And if we believe in him, we will have life everlasting.
Okay. Come on, some lady. You're not going to let the men take over here, are you? Here she comes. Okay. Come on up here. J.R. said, just call me J.R. What's your name? Oh, Gabby. Is that, no, not Gabby, right?
Gabby.
She said she called
you. I'm Gabby, and I'm short talking. It's a short verse.
Okay.
God loved, God gave his son. And all we have to do is believe, and we receive life forever.
Okay, thank you, Gabby. You know, we're making people now look at every word in there and having to rewrite. Now, take the step down to 4. How can I apply this verse to my life today? Something about not only the assurance, but maybe a responsibility that goes with it. Rewrite now or write down an application. Well, it's number 4 on page 13. How can I apply the truth of this verse to my life today? What does this verse mean to me? This fact mean to me that I am in Christ, in his family, and what does it do for me? And when you're finished, raise your hand. This will be a little different than, you know, God so loved the world. This is going to be something that this verse does for me in the fact that I've trusted in him. Raise your hand and put them down. Now, who's going to be bold enough to come up here? I had this class in Portland last year, and I had a high school class, 1,400 high schoolers. I'm telling you, it was the best class I've ever had with this study. I mean, they're sharp as a tack. 14-year-olds and 15-year-olds. Had a hard time settling them down to begin with, but boy, once we got underway, we had a great time. I wonder if a younger person would come up now, or two younger persons, at least couple of you. Here he comes. Run down. Let's see how fast you can go. Good. Wow. What's your name?
I'm Will.
Will. Good for you, Will. Let's hear it.
I now live eternally with Christ in a new life every day. This life is everlasting. Every day, my life, I can be confident in Christ that I belong to him each and every day.
Thank you, Will. Your name is?
I'm Nathan.
Nathan. Okay, that's a good Bible name. What are you going to read for us here?
He gave the most precious gift so that we could live with him forever. I feel that I should give my life back to him as a thank you, not to pay him back for his gift.
Thank you, Nathan. Ladies, do any young ladies want to come up here and show you what you have here? Time is really getting away, but you know when you have the left. Yes, come on. Are you? Okay, let us hear it. Okay. What is the value of a lesson like this, doing the study of this one? Now, let's see some hands, not shout. What is the value? Yes, sir. Becomes personal. Let's hear. What is the value of doing what we did here this morning? Yes, sir. You learn from others. That's one of the blessings of Bible study. It's amazing how we see things differently. So you learn from one another and you see things differently. Yes, way back. Makes you what? Why did you put your hand over your mouth, your wife's mouth? You discover for yourself. He put his hand over her mouth. I don't know why. Okay. What's the value of a study like this? Okay. All right. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am. Get used to talking about it. Yes, sir. All right. Yes, sir. What is it? Reassurance of the truth. Yes, way back. Eternalize? Oh, internalize. That's good. Well, yes, sir. One more. Family camaraderie. I've been doing this for years with the Navigators and now for Billy Graham for years, and I just enjoy. Wait, yes, you want to say something? Equips you to share with others. Okay. Turn back, if you will, to page six. Page six. And you have the format. I don't know if Tom's going to be able to get into this or not, but I'm going to have to leave very shortly. The format, and you'll notice right down the line what we did there. One of the things with your group of 10, you say 9, 10, 11, 12 people, what you're going to do is you're going to tell them we're going to meet for a period of 7 weeks, new beginnings, and you want each one over across the page to give the person's name and a prayer request. The name, hobby, and prayer request. Then you're going to go down through the covenant. By God's grace, during these 7 weeks, we're going to pray for each other. We're going to be participants and so on. We're going to do our homework. And you sign right there in the covenant. And then you're going to turn to the Bible study. And you're going to read the verses just like that. And now, look where it says, C under 5. Ask the questions listed in the box. You know where I'm reading now? C under 5. How many know where I'm reading? C under 5. What do we learn about salvation? Cross out the word note and put circle. 7 or 8 facts. Come down to the next. What do we learn about becoming God's child? Cross out note, put circle 2 or 3 facts. Eternal life, circle 2 or 3 facts. So I read, you circle. And then we do the verse study. We define the words. We do a paraphrase. We make an application of it. And then we end up with prayer. You notice down the bottom, prayer circle. And I have learned through many years, if you got a group of other 9 or 10 people, some of them have never prayed out loud before. So I would say to them now, I had a Roman Catholic lady in the study we had in Oklahoma. My wife and I were there to stay in an apartment, and we were having a little follow-up. And Mary said, I've never prayed out loud before. And I said, can you say, thank you, Lord? Yeah, I said, let me hear you. Thank you, Lord. Can I say, thank you, Lord, for Jesus? Can you say, thank you, Lord, for my church? Can you say, thank you, Lord, for Christian friends? Yes. So I said, what we want to do in the first prayer time in our groups is just everyone in the group, all you need to do is say, thank you, Lord, and insert one thing. That makes it easy, doesn't it? My sister Norma, I didn't realize it when she came to visit us when we were living in Tennessee. This is years ago. She was probably about 25 or 6 years of age. And I was having devotions, and I said, would you mind if we prayed around? She says, Bust is my nickname. I never prayed out loud. So some people haven't. So it makes it easy. Thank you, Lord. And then you go to the homework. Now turn over to page 14 for just a moment. Page 14. And this is the way I would do the homework with them. I'd show them where it was. Now before you come back next week, I want you to circle key words in these 6 verses. I want you to answer, make a brief answer. What do we learn about assurance in them? Now, if you can put a little answer along the page here, fine. Cryptic answer, or maybe you need to get some more paper out. I want you to memorize the verse at the bottom of the page, Philippians 1:6. Then over the top of page 15, I want you to put down the word, the verse Philippians 1:6. And I want you to look up in the dictionary now before next week. Confident, perfect. Confident, perfect. Look at the verse on the bottom of page 14. Read it out loud with me. For I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. So, those 2 words, and have them do their summary ahead of time and their application ahead of time. Now, when you get together, you've already got a group there and you can dig right into it. And you might do the same thing for a time. What word did you circle? What do we learn? For example, now, page 14, the first verse. I'm going to read it in the first verse. In whom we have what? Redemption. How? Through his blood. The forgiveness of sins. What do we learn about assurance? Let me hear a response quickly. What do we learn about assurance? What do we have here? 2 or 3 words. What are they? Redeemed. What else? Forgiven. How? By his blood and so on. Then you can read the next quickly if you want to. But these are great verses on biblical assurance. And you're going to have a great time when you come together. Now back to page 8. Back to page 8. Suggestions for a home assignment. Have the group read the entire chapter from which each verse in the margin lesson is taken. We're on top of page 8. And make additional notes in the margin alongside of each verse. You notice the word optional for more. How many of you think that if you had a Bible study with new people, that they would read the whole chapter on the 6 verses that they're doing the study on? And how many of you think they'd do that? You can hardly get people to read their Bibles these days. So I wanted Tom to take that up. He said, well, let's leave it in there. And at least the people who might be a little more mature might do it. Secondly, have each member write out a question they would like to ask. A question that cannot be answered by yes or no. And you know you can use some of their questions and you can get in some great discussions by letting them ask questions. Third, assign a verse mark with the asterisk for memory verse. And Philippians 1, memory verse for the new beginning sections are included in the back of this book. The memory verses are. Notice that they're all in the back of the book. And then, as a leader, ask the questions in the box and have 2 or 3 more ready if necessary. Example, how would you explain Philippians 1:6 to others? Then for each of the Bible studies following the first one, you meet, pray, have a time of prayer and sharing your verses and any blessings that have come to them during the week. Second, review the memory verse. Third, discuss the lesson, prayer circle, and then a home assignment for the next week. There are 30 different subjects in here. You could use this for your own devotional time. You could use it for one-on-one, or you could use it for group discussion as we've done this morning. I've had pastors that bought a book like this for every member of the church, had them do the lesson during the week, and then they preached on the subject on the Sunday. So there are different ways of using it. Thank you for coming. I've got to flee the coop here and get on my way and be on my way. Thank you very much.